People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and issues related to health and wellness.
Welcome to People First Radio. I'm Joe Pugh. Dr. Shannon Charlebois is fed up with gambling ads during sports. She says she thinks a number of Canadians must feel the same way, based on the response to an editorial she co-authored in the Canadian Medical Association Journal, called Protecting Canada's Youth from the Risks of Exposure to Gambling Advertising. The article generated widespread media attention. Charlebois says co-author Dr. Sean Kelly has since been invited to speak to issues of gambling advertising and youth before the Canadian Senate. I spoke with Dr. Shannon Charlebois.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Shannon Charlebois. I'm the medical editor at the Canadian Medical Association Journal, and I'm also a family doctor.
And can you tell me what prompted you to come out with this editorial speaking to the issue of gambling, sports gambling, advertising, and youth?
Sure. I wrote this editorial because the whole thing was just ticking me off. The situation is ticking me off. It's ticking off lots of Canadians. The editorial discusses how pervasive gambling and sports betting ads have become on any kind of sport watched in Canada. Particularly our national sports of hockey, but also other huge sports like soccer, and anything you can think of is there. I was speaking with my pediatrician, Dr. Sean Kelly, who turned out to be my co-author, and the anger, the raw anger he feels about this, because he sees the harms, as do I, in our patients and out in the community.
Could you outline maybe what you feel the extent of the problem is?
Sure. So the University of Bristol in the UK did a study on the NHL final game this year, the Oilers versus the Panthers. And in the broadcast they watched, they found that there was a gambling ad every 13 seconds, whether it was a logo, a sponsored segment, or an advertisement. So I'm watching that game with my kids, and every 13 seconds on average, they're seeing some promotion of gambling. I've got my 8-year-old who wants me to place bets for him. And these ads really are genius. They just go in, and the industry is preparing its next generation of customers and current customers too. Because the rebuttal that, oh, well, kids can't gamble because they're not 19, is just wrong, and the gambling companies know this.
Could you tell me more about that idea of, well, theoretically, youth aren't allowed to use some of these platforms or they can't gamble? Where does that break down, you feel?
Well, there's a lot of things that youth can't do, they do anyways, and there's a lot of things that adults can't legally do, and they do anyways. So even before single-game sports betting was legalized in Canada in 2021, back in 2019, we knew kids were gambling. They're doing this in a bunch of different ways. There's the traditional methods, but there's also the more subtle methods of gambling, even among their peers. Their parents are involved in this sometimes, and a bit complicit, to be honest. But there's in video games, you can buy loot boxes. You are gambling. You're spending real money to get some unknown potential benefit. So in 2019, we knew that 4% of Canadian teenagers were experiencing some harms from gambling. And I don't mean just they lost a bet. And we knew that 2% met criteria for gambling addiction. That was 2019. I don't have numbers updated, but now that we're inundating them with sports betting ads, and they can get around those age restrictions. Some of the apps, you just need to say you're 19. Others will play using a parent's name with a parent's credit card to the tune of thousands of dollars. I know one 17-year-old who gambled away his college fund because he was worried it wasn't high enough. Kids don't have the executive decision-making skills, play the tape forward type brains that they do once they have fully formed neurological measures when they're 25 or around there. This just plays right into what appeals to a teenager, because they're evolutionarily, biologically geared to take risks. They're geared to value peer influence. And when they see these ads that have cars and parties and members of whatever sex they're attracted to and tigers, I mean, these are all things a teenager looks at and thinks, well, that looks great. It's integrated now into the game broadcasts themselves, where you have sponsored segments, you have logos everywhere. You even in some cases have logos broadcast onto the playing field or surface or whatever it is. And teenagers and especially and children, my children now are growing up in a world where they can't separate that gambling is a fun way to augment being a spectator and the sport itself. And these things are very different. People will say to me, oh, but gambling is a form of entertainment. Most people have no problems. But the truth is, it's an addiction, and it's addiction that kills. Studies have been done in comparator countries like the UK, where the risk of suicide increases in those aged 16 to 24 by 9 times for males, 9 times the risk of suicidality. A study in Norway found that among gambling addicts, suicide was the leading cause of death when they followed people over a 13-year period. That's pretty bad. Canadians are dying. We know that. From suicide linked to gambling addiction, but more Canadians, many more, are just being destroyed by gambling addictions of all ages. And if we talk about the social determinants of health, the people that are most affected, what the studies show, are those of lower socioeconomic status, males, and people who live in rural and remote areas. That is what the evidence has shown for the last 50 years among gambling studies in Canada. And that tracks with what the global literature shows.
There are a number of layers to this. So there's the fact that single game sports gambling is legal. There's the fact that you can do it online from a smartphone. There's the advertising element to it. There's the frequency of the advertising element to it. How would you begin to break down all of these layers to say these are the specific areas where you feel a change is called for?
If you want to ask me what I want to see, and this is not the ideal, which would be no sports betting ads altogether, because I've seen this destroy adult lives. But if you, I would take a draw on no sports betting ads before 9 p.m. No sports betting ads, i.e., where minors are likely to see them, because really, if they're playing these ads in things like hockey games and soccer games, they're directly marketing to youth, and that's against national advertising standards. But these companies are not dumb. They're creating their next generation of customers. And we're allowing that. And why do we allow it? Well, because it generates tax revenues. These gambling corporations end up paying a lot of money to the jurisdiction or province where they are operating. The first few years of following the sports betting legalization, the Ontario government made $1.4 billion in tax revenues. And so what I would like is whistle to whistle on any sports broadcast, no betting ads, just in general, but certainly no betting ads until 9 p.m. and for the 5 minutes after a game ends. That is what is being moved into the British system slowly. And I think that's the bare minimum we can do for our kids. This is no different than eliminating ads for other harmful things like cigarettes, or sugary cereals. If we can get rid of Tony the Tiger, we can get rid of these sports betting.
We have seen an evolution with the advertising where, when this first came into play, you could see celebrities just straight up advertising some of these betting platforms. And then there was a shift such that now they can only be in the ads if they are in some way promoting measures like guardrails or responsible gambling measures. You wrote in your editorial that warnings to game responsibly have, however, been shown in a systematic review of 166 studies to be ineffective. I'm wondering if you could tell me more about that idea.
Sure. So it's not just that these strategies don't work. What they're actually doing is achieving the opposite of what they are on surface. They're promoting, and they use that word, promoting safe gambling, which is the same as promoting gambling. It's sneaky. In Ontario, they had ads of celebrities, Connor McDavid, showing how glamorous gaming is. And that, again, for younger people who are more influenced by celebrity, that is huge. That is hugely effective. And so Ontario passed a weak law saying, oh, no more celebrities promoting gambling, which was, you know, very nice of them, except that within days they allowed ads of Connor McDavid back again promoting responsible gaming. This is just another way of advertising. It circumvents the law. They allowed it immediately. It was absolutely ludicrous. So yes, responsible gaming. I mean, if you're a cocaine addict, there's no such thing as responsible cocaine use. The same applies to alcoholism. The same applies, you know, to any major addiction. That is true. So the people the gambling companies make their money off of are the heavy users. And for the heavy users, we know that responsible gambling, that putting up, you know, guardrails don't work. The guardrails don't work partially because people can get around them. If even if you manage to block yourself from a website, it's difficult to block yourself for life irrevocably. You can usually get back on within 24 hours. And there's always another platform for you to gamble on. You mentioned smartphones. 24 hours a day, you can be on a smartphone and placing a bet on anything. You can take these, you know, parlay bets. You can bet on what color, I don't know, which jersey the team's wearing, which referees are going to be there, whether or not this person's going to make their free throw. And in fact, we have college athletes and university athletes who are threatened on social media because they didn't make the free throw that, or whatever point it was, that someone had bet on. It's just corrupting sports, and sports are a great thing. You know, my brother was an elite hockey player. I grew up with someone who saw the benefits of teamwork and hard work paying off. That is the opposite of what gambling is. And for these two things to be conflated in my son's mind at 8 years old is pretty disturbing.
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm speaking with Dr. Shannon Charlebois, medical editor at the Canadian Medical Association Journal. We're speaking about gambling advertising and youth, which was the subject of a recent editorial co-authored by Charlebois. When it comes to a number of behaviors that, from a public health perspective, are harmful to people, there can be a lot of discourse or questions or back and forth on the idea of if this becomes too hard to do in a kind of accessible, regulated way, then people will just go to the black market. I'm wondering if you were approaching this issue of gambling with a clean slate, how would you try and create a system that tries to thread that needle?
Now, there is a big question. You know, I don't think I've ever considered that before because I personally, you know, to be completely honest, don't understand gambling. Never have. I go to a casino, you know, I'm playing penny slots. My betting max would be $20. I just don't get it. I work hard for my money, always have. I'm not giving it to somebody else, but I get it. This is something people really like. So I don't have a great answer because yes, we do generate tax revenues off things that harm people. You know, alcohol is the same, of course, cigarettes, you know, there are good things and bad things to that because it does make the public complicit, in the problem. You know, we take so much tax revenue off of alcohol sales and yet one of the top causes of emergency visits and illness and early death in Canada is related to alcohol, whether it's traffic accidents or any of the other medical things that can go wrong for people who love to drink. So I don't have a good answer for you because you're kind of asking me an impossible question. How do I take something that for a certain percentage of the population is going to be absolutely ruinous and destructive and make that essentially family friendly? And I just don't know the answer to that. I think we're getting into a complex ethical debate then or exploration, and I just don't know.
There's a bill that's making its way through the Senate right now, and that bill would basically require the relevant minister to develop and implement a strategy on this issue within a specific time frame. Do you see that bill as having a reasonable chance at making its way into law in the near future?
Well, let me tell you, Bill S-211 would allow for a federal jurisdiction, a federal movement which is really what's needed, because piecemeal movements by the province, such as the Connor McDavid's responsible gambling ads, are not going to cut it, because the provinces and territories have a conflict of interest. They're benefiting from sports betting. So what we need is federal legislation. The bill is not itself a piece of federal legislation that will go as far as I want it to, that will make a meaningful, immediate difference. But it sets the stage. It's the start we need. So Bill S-211 is being actually now, since this editorial has come out, discussed before the Senate on October 8th. And the co-author of this editorial will be the co-speaker, has just been invited to speak for the Senate. So this is wonderful news for us. So we're hoping this bill gets through and that some inroads can start to be made.
You wrote in your editorial that allowing glaring and ubiquitous promotion of sports betting is a willful mortgage of Canada's future to the interests of private profit and tax revenue. What do you think happens down the line if this isn't addressed?
Well, problem gambling is going up, and I have the stats to prove that, because the people it's going up in are the 18 to 24 set. The people who can legally gamble, it's the young ones now who are doing it at unprecedented levels. So if that trend continues, and of course it will, when our kids are growing up with associating this with sports, on top of all the different ways to gamble that outside of sports, the normalization of it, the number of people in Canada who are going to be harmed by problem gambling, which is in turn going to have a spill effect on the ones they love, it's going to increase crime. We know gambling in youth and anyone really is associated with an increase. Number of criminal activities, including theft, of course, as they try and fuel their habit or pay off their debts to the black market, which is also a problem. Those two things are intertwined with the legal market. So theft, weapons charges, assault charges. Right now, a significant proportion of Canadian youth who are incarcerated, I think it's around 30% ballpark. I'd have to get the stat for you. Around a third of incarcerated Canadian youth endorse a history of problem gambling. So this goes along with the other reasons that other determinants of what lands people in prison, which tends to be lower income individuals, racialized individuals, people with other psychiatric comorbidities, and people with substance use. And gambling goes right along with most of those things.
You mentioned off the top of our conversation that this was something you wanted to write about because it was really bugging you, and especially when this was maybe a new change and there was this wave of new gambling ads, it seemed like even beyond people who had concerns about this from the public health angle, there were a lot of people expressing views, whether that was on social media, in editorials, in conversations at the pub, that they just found this really, really annoying and didn't like it. And I'm wondering if you feel like that kind of sentiment has a chance to spur some action on this, or whether we're kind of settling into a place of apathy a few years down the line.
Well, I think we are sort of at that benchmark of where most Canadians are annoyed by this, by these ads, even just because they don't want to look at them anymore. But we have hit that sort of critical point of, are we going to put up with it? Or now, after we've seen what's happened over 4 years, are we going to say to our political leaders, okay, let's now do something about this. It's equivalent to any advertising any other harmful substance. It's annoying. It's hurting our youth. It's hurting the entire adult population. And so that's why I wrote the editorial too, because I'm starting to see that complacency where maybe I hear less grumbling about it, or I notice it less myself when I'm watching these ads. And once I started to look into it and look at some of the associated statistics and evidence, I was appalled. And so I wrote the editorial. So I'm really hoping, and we've seen such attention to this one publication from media coast to coast in Canada, that I think we've clearly hit a nerve in the public. And hopefully this helps focus that energy towards advocacy to political leaders to say, okay, we called you on it. Now you got to fix it.
What does this issue look like in other jurisdictions? Is there anywhere we can look to for maybe hope of this, if that's fair to say, reaching a resolution or an improvement?
So There are countries where gambling advertising has been outlawed completely. That would be my ideal, but I don't think that's going to happen. Those countries don't have comparable political systems, economies to Canada. So let's look at Australia and the UK. Australia is having the same problems as us. When I speak to Australian family, they're just as irritated by this, if not more, than I am. The UK is interesting because they've had problems with gambling for a very long time. You know, their single game sports betting goes back two decades. And they do see a huge amount of crime that's attributable directly or indirectly to it. They see high rates of addiction in their youth. And they see really the social fallout. You know, sure, it generates a little tax revenue, but there's real world costs to this. So the UK had tried to push, and this is being implemented to a degree, is my understanding, of a whistle-to-whistle policy, where from the game beginning till 5 minutes after the game ends, there's no sports betting allowed. And they've taken the things off the player jerseys. They've taken out all of the things that annoy me when I'm trying to watch a hockey game. That's up until 9 p.m. And after 9 p.m., it's more of a free-for-all. That's not, from my understanding and my reading, that's not across all sports. So, and people will bet on any outcome, as I think listeners who are acquainted with sort of the harms of gambling know right now. People will go online at 4 a.m. and bet on a ping pong ball tournament. But at least in the UK, we're seeing strides, but we're also seeing where it evolved in order to make those strides possible. And they're having a very difficult time putting through legislation that's all encompassing because the problem is so embedded. I think that's a cautionary tale as well as a place to look for one example. And I think that idea is great. Whistle to whistle, nothing before 9 p.m. Canada can at least do as well as that.
Is there anything else you think it's important to bring to the conversation on this issue today?
Write your local member of parliament and tell them to pass Bill S-211.
Shannon Charlebois, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
My pleasure.
Dr. Shannon Charlebois is a family doctor and is medical editor at the Canadian Medical Association Journal.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.